Hello guys, welcome to the Black Spin Global Podcast. I am Lucy.
And I'm Eugene.
And welcome to day 6 and 7.
8.
7 and 8. Sorry. I know some of you who have been listening religiously are probably surprised, like, where's the Arthur Ashe audio? Guys, we've been rocking it so much that we actually don't have any audio left. focusing on Wimbledon anyways. So yeah, we've shared a lot. So again, a massive thank you to the Arthur Ashe legacy at UCLA for allowing us to do so. But it doesn't stop there, guys. Like, as I said, we've done 2 special episodes about Arthur Ashe to celebrate his 50th anniversary. You know, a lot of publications only started celebrating on the actual day that he won.
Which was a Saturday, yeah.
Yeah, we are actually celebrating it for the entire year.
All year
so
round, yeah.
We started way before Wimbledon, where we did 2 special episodes. One was on how he founded the ATP tour, and the second is on his historical trip to South Africa. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why people talk a lot about that trip. So please go to our YouTube channel or go to the podcast platform. You'll find it right there. And we'll do more episodes on those after Wimbledon as well, so we can keep on celebrating his legacy. So yeah, I hope the ones that we've shared so far has been fun and entertaining and also educational. But yeah, again, a thank you to Arthur Ashe legacy at UCLA. We also had, obviously yesterday we didn't pod, but that was because we were at our first ever watch party at Box Park Croydon, which was such a success. A massive thank you for everyone who came. It was really fun seeing actual listeners in person as well.
Exactly, yeah. And followers as well, like on social media. Like, it was really, 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 really good.
Yeah. What was your favorite moment of the watch party?
Yeah, I think like you said, meeting like the listeners and followers, like for me, I was like kind of, it was humbling, really and truly, Lucy, honestly. Like, and like you said, it's our first ever event as well. Hopefully there'll be more people actually calling for us to do one for the final.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just watch this space. That's all we can say on that.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do. Obviously, because it's the Women's Euros football event, a lot of venues will be showing that, so we'll try our best, but at least we know that people are interested in that.
What was your biggest takeaway from yesterday?
I think for me it was just a moment, like seeing so many like Black people watching tennis. Literally there was even one person who came for another event at Box Park, and he walked past and was like, oh wow, like this is cool. Like, he ended up staying before going to his event to watch some tennis.
Wicked.
He even came back for the tennis trivia and everything. Like, it was really cool.
One more thing for me, actually, I loved the fact that a lot of people just came on their own, and then it was like a thing of them just talking to other people, like, you know, because we all have that same thing in common in terms of loving tennis. Like, I love that.
So hopefully, you know, even if we don't do one here, I'm really hoping that we can do one at the US Open, either like a pre, you know, like live podcast show or like another watch party there, to be honest. But yeah, little by little, let's just go through Wimbledon first and then we'll see that. But yeah, again, a massive thank you for everyone who came. We're really, really thankful and grateful for everyone showing up. Was actually a really dope time.
And shouts out to Christopher Eubanks as well for providing the racket and the towel as well for our lucky winner.
Yes, for sure. And a massive thank you to Box Park, because they could have done this on their own and not include us. So a massive, massive thank you to Box Park for letting us host this. Today's a quick one for us, not that long.
Just that one match.
And by the way, guys, sorry my voice is low. I am extremely exhausted.
It's been a long it's been a long month for you, Lucy, let's be real.
A very long month for me, and I feel like I'm going to crash anytime soon. But yeah, so today was Ben Shelton against Lorenzo Sonego. This was their first time playing each other on grass. I actually wanted to ask him about that at the press, but press was busy asking them about family and stuff. respectfully. Okay, no, don't shout out to family and everything, but this, like I said, I like to ask the technical stuff too, but it's what it is. I was either going to ask that or ask him, because it was a video from the tennis channel on social that they posted a video of him like walking in. Well, before he was going to walk in, he was bumping to that music, and I was going to ask him what was the future song that you were listening to.
Because you know his future.
I know it was future. So yeah. But anyways, obviously Shelton leads the head-to-head 3-1. But like I said, this was the first time they played on grass. They played each other at Roland Garros as well. That match was their longest, I believe. It was at five sets. So yeah, this one was pretty interesting. The first set, sorry, what was the score for this match?
So 3-6, 6-1, 7-6, 7-5.
Yeah.
So he recovered from a set down.
He did, yeah. The first set was very interesting. His serves were not as great. He even said that a bit of his press. Yeah. I was even like surprised. It was like 60-something% his first serves points win, and the second one was like 50-something, and I was like, whoa, like what's going on?
I thought he looked quite nervy, like he looked a bit off of it.
The energy wasn't really the same either. But I think it was also because of the conditions were very different from all his other matches. Yeah,
a bit colder today.
I literally even left the court at one point. I didn't watch the whole match in person because I was too cold. I left. But it was a bit colder, windier as well. And Lorenzo, to be fair, he was smoked up. I think he had more on him because obviously he hasn't beaten Shelton as much.
Yeah.
But he definitely felt like there was an opportunity there because he was playing well. Even after the three other sets that he lost, I think that's the best Lorenzo has played against Shelton.
I think it's funny. You mentioned the head-to-head. Obviously, like you said, the head-to-head going in was 3-1 to Ben. It's now 4-1. But all of their matches have been quite tight.
Mm-hmm.
And like there has to be a reason for that. Like Ben is obviously the better player because he's got the better of him, the majority of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something about the matchup that like I think both of them enjoy playing against each other.
Yeah,
because they kind of bring out like the best in each other basically. But
although Sonego looked pissed at the end, rightfully so. Anyways, like when you're a competitor.
No, but again, there's like a mutual respect.
Yeah,
like,
no, there is. Yeah. But obviously, you're still going to be upset about losing and stuff. Yeah. It's like, damn, this guy keeps on beating me even on another surface.
I think it's also because he got broken as well in that final game. Like, that's always tough to lose a match.
That's the worst way to lose a match.
But yeah, I do find, because that's the question I wanted to ask Ben as well. Like, what is it about the matchup that kind of, that like we said, this is the first set he's dropped all tournament as well.
Mm.
But it was never a thing of when he won the second set, 6-1, it was like, okay, he's settled into it now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there was a massive, massive game. I think it was a 1-1 in that second set. Shelton was serving at 15-40 down.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he literally came back, held, and then he broke Sonego in the next game and then took over from there and then closed out that set 6-1. But for me, that set the tone. Coming back from 15-40 down, and then breaking Sonego immediately after that must have been quite demoralizing as well for Sonego. Like, in terms of like having an opportunity, well, two break points, couldn't convert, and then all of a sudden, like the match kind of switches on its head.
Yeah,
and it just shows as well. Like, we obviously this is tennis, and with five set tennis as well, like it's a thing where the men can kind of settle or they have a longer time to kind of settle into things because it's best of five, whereas when it's best of three, you don't really have that luxury of, you know, starting slowly and like kind of working your way in. But credit to Ben as well, because this wasn't a five setter. Like, it was a four set match, unlike Paris where it was a five set match, and Australia it was four sets as well, so it was a very similar kind of theme to Australia, if anything. And also, This is the first time he's actually come back from a set down against Sonego. So, the third set tiebreak was also quite interesting because, again, they pretty much were holding like with ease pretty much up until the tiebreak, so 6-6.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ben just took over in that tiebreak. It was 7-1. He won the tiebreak by.
Yeah.
And again, I think it was on Sonego's serve that he had set point. And it was just a very, very, like, I wouldn't say clean because there was certain, like you said, the serve wasn't great today.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought in terms of his like overall game, it was a good performance because it could have been a tricky one. Like first, well, he was bidding to reach the quarterfinals at Wimbledon for the first time as well. So like there's that pressure.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he just handled it like so well. And I feel like we are starting to see like a new Ben Shelton, at Wimbledon 2025, him being number 10 in the world now as well. That ranking's only going to keep going up.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure in the live rankings, I don't know what it is right now, but he'll be up to, I want to say number 8 in the world if he wins his quarterfinal. So, I mean, a very good tournament, and we don't want to look too far ahead, but the way things are going right now, as we record, it's either going to be Jannik Sinner or Grigor Dimitrov. And yeah, Dimitrov is actually leading Sinner right now.
It's pretty interesting.
Interesting indeed.
They still on serve on the third set because they were closing the roof. So
okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, let's see. How would you kind of evaluate Ben Shelton's Wimbledon in 2025, Lucy? Like,
I think pretty good. I was a bit nervous a little bit, to be fair, prior, because the beginning of his grass season was great, and then he was losing a bit early at some of the pre-tournaments. Although funny enough, it was kind of the same last year, then he made all the way to the fourth round. But yeah, like he's defended his points now, gone to the quarterfinals. Exactly. Today's the only time he dropped his set. So yeah, he seems pretty focused. And a lot of the top seeds are out. His draws and what is looking good. Although I personally really want a Sinner and Shelton quarterfinals regardless. I think whoever wins that next round, I think he has the potential of beating them.
So I
think it's really, the fact that he's already made to the quarterfinals is really good. As an American player, you know, as part of the African American players as well. So yeah, like is pretty dope. I'm really looking forward to his next round. Obviously he's the only single player left that we have to follow. So yeah, it's nice to still have him on. He's great on grass. You can see the progress that he's been making to his technique is helping him on the surface. His matches have been all entertaining, each and every single one of them. So that's the thing, is like when he makes it far, it's not just a thing of like, oh yeah, he's just making it far. It's actually making it entertaining for people. Like, hence why the crowd was really cheering for him. And normally Italian fans are like the loudest, you know, the rowdiest, in a good way. Like, I like it. But whenever Ben is on court, is a different ball game. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah. It's funny because he was actually asked as well about kind of looking ahead in the draw and just like what his kind of pattern or routine is like during events or tournaments. This is what he said.
For me, I don't want to know like 6 days out how it is at a Masters. I feel like get into a place where you're overly consumed with who you play or who you could be playing in the future. For some people, that works great. Like, I talked to Taylor Fritz. He's like, oh, I got this guy in the quarters. Like bro. But it works for him. And I think everybody's, you know, completely different. And that wasn't a shot at Taylor at all. For me, I got to kind of not think about who I'm playing, especially in later rounds. I only want to know the round that I'm going into, and I want to know maybe 2 days out. So once you start playing at slams, you kind of know who you got 2 days out after each match. And for me, that's perfect enough time to watch tape, think about it, talk about it with my team, but also not dwell on it.
Player here who asked reporters not to mention who they're playing in the next round at all during their press conference. Can you relate to that sort of mindset at all, or that preference?
Only like I said, if it's far out, or like if I get a text from somebody, you know, a friend or family friend who's just super excited, like, oh, Wimbledon draw came out, saw you got this person in the quarterfinal. I'm like, this is first round. But so at that point, Maybe, but with like the next match coming up, no, I don't feel any type of way about it.
So yeah, interesting take. I think it's funny how like players have different kind of, I guess, habits when it comes to that. Like, because that's something, well, as a podcaster slash, yeah, I never like looking too far ahead. Like for me, it's round by round. Because you just never know who you're going to face in the next round.
Look what Wimbledon has taught us.
Thank you. Exactly.
This prediction that we made, and now look.
All the top seeds getting clipped, like yeah. first, second round. Like it just leaves everything wide open.
Yeah.
But again, he did say that. Yeah, basically, you have an idea, like kind of when you do see the draw, who you'll be facing, like as the rounds go by. So yeah, interesting take. Like. Did you kind of find that revealing or like new or?
No, just like you said, every player is different. You have some players that literally do not want to know at all. That you have some players that want to know just round by round. I think for me, what was interesting was when he said like, you know, other people messaging him. I never thought that people actually message a player to say like, oh shoot, I look at a prediction draw and you might face XYZ
in the quarterfinals.
Like, it's so funny how like I don't know, maybe it's easy for me to say this because I'm not a casual fan. Because I assume there has to be a casual fan behavior. I have a hard time.
Casual fan behavior. I like that line. That's hard.
I have a hard time believing that someone who's into tennis proper will actually message a player such thing. So yeah, like he gets the excitement, but at the same time, it's like, especially for a Grand Slam, at least do that for 250.
You know what, Lucy, you say that though, but like literally every, like, well, you see all the time on social media, projected quarterfinals.
No, I get that, but I think it's different when you're picking up your phone and texting the player yourself. Like that's a whole different ball game. We all do it. If it's a thing where he's scrolling on Twitter and finding his friend's Twitter, that's a different thing. But to pick up your phone and message Ben Chelan and say, oh my gosh, you might face Sinner in the quarterfinals, that's absolutely insane. But at the same time, it shows the excitement of people.
Exactly.
And also it shows the belief that they have in him for him to make it all the way then. And he's shown it. He's making it all the way to quarterfinals, which is great. Like the American press said, he's the first to do it since Roddick Andy since Roddick, 2004, yeah. blah blah blah. Gosh, you people in these stats. But I guess, but yeah, it's all good.
I think Roddick was actually in the Royal Box yesterday.
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
And today, Roger Federer.
He was in the Royal Box, yeah. And he was watching Andreeva, and I think Andreeva actually said that she really wanted him to watch because she's a Roger fan as well.
Yeah, but she wanted just to see him in real life, she said.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. That's pretty cute. Even Djokovic gave him a shout out as well and was like, yeah, I wish I had like a good touch and serve like that man.
that's cool.
Roger. So yeah, it's nice seeing the previous players coming down to Wimbledon.
How are we feeling about Ben then in terms of his next opponent, like kind of staying on that theme? Like
I said, personally, I think Sinner. whoever he faces, he has potential to beat them. Sinner is great, we all know that, but Sinner on grass is not the same level as hard court and clay. What's his score now? Is he still on serve? Still on serve, exactly. Dimitrov,
I'm not going to lie, Lucy, I want Dimitrov more than Sinner.
I want Dimitrov more than Sinner, of course, but at the same time, how can I say this in a respectful way? Respectfully, Dimitrov, yeah, if he makes it far, like, I you know what, actually, I'm going to keep my comment to myself because I don't want to be too rude. I don't want it to be a thing where, like, it's, Respectfully, I don't want this to be like a waste in it because I don't think Dimitrov is going to like win the thing. So it's like...
I only want Dimitrov because I think it will be easier for Shelton.
Yeah, I know, easy for Shelton. I know, yeah. But I'm talking about as a whole, I need Dimitrov just...
Okay.
There's people here that can really win this and I want them to win in it.
Crazy.
But I feel like Dimitrov has had his shot as winning a slam already and I don't think it's going to happen personally.
Okay.
And I don't think this is even my first time saying it. I think I've said it before. But definitely I'll prefer Dimitrov winning this. But again, it's a grand slam. I preferred, you know, Osaka having so many other players that wanted her. Like, I was like, yeah, this person can be here. And like, look, Pav is like all the way to, Anastasia's all the way to the quarterfinals for the first time. And like, you know, so again, it's tennis. You just never know. I don't think anyone even bothered watching Dimitrov and Sinner thinking Sinner, yeah, was going to whack Uncle. Was beating him down to, you know, two sets down.
Like Shelton, Sinner was also, he hadn't dropped a set.
Exactly.
At this stage. Now he's dropped two.
So you're just really never going to win five. Oh, 100%. You would definitely prefer getting the one who has not won a Grand Slam rather than someone who has been doing a madness. Yeah. Number one in the world.
Banned for 3 months. Still came back as number one.
Like, come on. That is different. So, yeah. But I generally think... Who does he have after the quarterfinals? If he wins the quarterfinals, actually?
It would be Novak.
That would be awesome.
Novak in the semis. No, well, Novak or Cam Nori. Respectfully.
Respectfully, yeah.
Listen,
yeah,
man, it's coming home, Lucy. Let's keep up the theme.
Oh, gosh. But yeah, we'll see anyways. But yeah.
Yeah. Just on like today's action as well. Obviously, like you said, Ben was our only match in terms of black spin. But Andreeva did beat Emma Navarro.
Incredible.
Straight sets pretty quickly.
Incredible. She's on fire, man.
So she's through to her first Wimbledon quarterfinal now.
Incredible.
Who else won today? I want to say Samsonova.
I'm not sure. Can't lie.
Belinda Bencic. She also won. So that's a straight sets win.
That's another impressive one because she was injured. She didn't really finish clay season. She barely played grass and comes back and does all that. So a massive, massive shout out to Bencic.
That result now.
Even though she was on my up list for a very long time, but unfortunately, I'm a nice person and I have to give credit when credits are due. But it is what it is.
We like that, Lucy. You respect the growth.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Park's first round score doesn't look that bad now in terms of Bencic now reaching the quarterfinals. Iga Swiatek, she also won, so she beat Clara Towson, and I want to say Towson was up a break in that first set, but Swiatek, she came back and won it 6-4 6-1. And then in the men's, obviously we mentioned Novak coming back from a set down against Alex Diminor, winning that 1-6 6-4 6-4 6-4. Obviously, Shelton,
did something, Alex. Apparently, he's the first player to get that type of score from Novak, like, aside from the big three or some shit like that.
Oh, really?
Oh, sorry for swearing, but yeah, some stuff like
that. Oh, wow, okay. Well, shouts out to Diminor. Yeah. I mean, 6-1 first, that is pretty impressive.
Something. Definitely. I was even scared. I know something normally with Novak, you have to wait to the end of the match, but 6-1 scoring, that's insane.
No, Novak's just warming up, man. But no, fair play to Diminor. And yeah, we're still waiting for this Sinner Dimitrov match to finish, but it's been a good day.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, day nine. I mean, we're not going to be.
We're on a rest day, guys. Okay, I know some of you will want some doubles update, but as you can hear from my voice, if I don't sleep, there won't be even a Wimbledon update for the rest of the week.
Stop it.
So, I know Ivan King and Taylor Townsend unfortunately lost yesterday, so that mixed double matchup is out. But Taylor Townsend and Katerina
they're still in.
This is the media announcement. Clara Towson is on her way to room two. Clara Towson on her way to room two.
Apologies about that. But yeah, as I said, Taylor Townsend and Katerina Siniaková were a set down from their last match, but they won that, obviously defending champs. I think in terms of doubles, that's all we have, isn't it?
Pretty much, yeah.
Did Ivan King and Chris, have they lost in the men's doubles?
I think they have.
Yeah, so that's pretty much what we have. So yeah, guys, obviously we'll update on social, but in terms of us being on site, we're going to take a little break.
Well earned, I say.
Well earned. Way more than well earned, in all honesty. If you guys are upset, soz in it. Like,
sorry, man.
Hold tight. But we will be back on Wednesday for the Shelton, either Dimitrov or Sinner match.
Day 11.
But yeah, either way, stay in touch on socials. Thank you again, guys, for tuning in. The numbers have been doing great. Like, you guys are really tuning in and leaving comments as well. Yeah. It's been really great interacting with everyone, whether you're new or you've been here for a minute. So yeah, stay tuned.